Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. By ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions.
This is Ham Nation, episode 238 for March 9th, 2016. Let's get fumigated. Good evening and welcome to another awesome episode of Ham Nation. I'm George Thomas, W5JDX. Bob Hall is not with us tonight. He's on the road, and I've forgotten who he said he was out with this week. No, it's not the Who, but I think he's in Memphis. Hope he'll be back with us next week. A good show tonight. We've got our friend back who was gone last week. There were two of them gone, but the one I'm referring to right now is Don Wilbanks. Hi, Don.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be back. Yeah, we had to make a quick trip up to Cincinnati. My brother-in-law is in the hospital, and he's still in the hospital and still in pretty bad shape. So if you guys want to toss a prayer up for Michael, that would be greatly appreciated. And Amanda is watching the chat room tonight, and she mentioned in the chat room that she believes that our good friend Dr. Bob is out with Frankie Valli. So you could do worse. You could do worse than hanging with Frankie Valli. That's for sure. We've got Dr. Tamitha Scove coming up right after the Newsline headlines tonight too. So it's going to be a good show tonight. Val standing by, and it's a wild orgy of happiness and excitement, George. But you knew that.
Well, yeah, I kind of knew that because you're here with us tonight. Yeah, well, I remember now. Bob said it. I thought he said Rudy Valli, but it was Frankie Valli. Okay.
It's a different Valli.
We got that now. Well, we got Val here tonight, too. Val, what have you got for us a little later?
Oh, yeah. Come in. I'm trying to get Bob on the radio here. Actually, we've been going through Jerry's mom's basement. Now, she saved everything Jerry had from, like, a coat when he was 4 years old to these. Jerry won these in second grade in a contest. They do 10 meters, 11 meters, and short wave. And this is actually what got him in the hobby. We're finding all kinds of pressure stems. We got boxes and boxes of CQ magazine from, these are from the 60s. 7-3 magazine from 1972. I mean,
yeah. Oh, look how good you look on that. That's an awesome cover shot of you. Yeah. Look at that.
Sporting my hot pants. Oh, yeah. And the ARRL operating an amateur radio station for a quarter. Look at those mainframes in there, if you can see some of that. It's pretty cool. So we're just been having a ball going through all these boxes of gems here at the house. But we've got a great show tonight. I've got Kathy Gardenias. She is the co-chair for the DX convention in Visalia. She's going to be on to talk about that later in the show. So I'll head it back to you, George.
I think Gordon has those shorts now, doesn't he?
I think he does. And speaking of the other friend who wasn't here last week, and he was out disrupting the power grid. Hi, Gordo. What happened?
Well, we shut the entire power grid down for our city, but it came back up, of course, after the show was over. Well, Mike and Key Club up in Puyallup, Washington, I'm sorry. I was going to talk about your ham fest, but it's already over, but I bet it was a good one. Those of you in the VHF and UHF, SSB Electronics is back. Jerry is back representing the BECO line of VHF and UHF powerful amplifiers. And speaking of VHF and UHF, they're having a conference in the Dulles Washington Airport Holiday Inn, April 14 to 17. And it's going to be a big one for those of you interested in tropoducting and all about VHF and UHF. But the best part of it is they've worked into their conference a tour of the Capitol, a tour of the National Archives, the Monument, maybe even the White House. But I encourage all of you putting on a ham fest, think about one additional day for something fun, such as the Williams Ham Fest coming up a few more months from now, is going out to the Painted Desert, as well as to the Grand Canyon. This is neat stuff, and I encourage all of you doing HamFest, think of something special. In fact, this weekend is Palm Springs, and who knows, they may again offer rides to the top of the tram up to an 8,000-foot hill to get a little bit of snow. So good things happening. All right, coming up next month, April 23rd, Nebraska having their convention. Las Vegas, Suze and I will be there 29th and 30th. So lots of good things happening. Now, speaking of VHF and UHF, you've heard about Ham Source. They are the group that N1OLO, Big John, comes up with these great devices. They have a new name, and it is Paradan, P-A-R-A-D-A-N. So if you're looking for these neat little gadgets that once was Ham Source, it's now Paradan, and Dan is back again making things happen. Making things happen is Greek, Pete the Greek. And if ever you need to get an authentication of your original call sign, he will do it. And you go to 12vdc.org, but that's where you find all about Pete the Greek and all he does for those hams needing to get call signs lookup. He will make it happen. And behind me, you see Amateur Television. The Amateur Television Network has a bi-monthly magazine called ATV Quarterly. And take a look at them on the net, and you'll read all about the latest of digital amateur television. So neat things happening out here in Radio Land. Well, let's talk about plumbing, and that is coaxial cable. And Brian, if you don't mind, if you'll beam up the coax cable short shots. And not all coax cable can be judged by how it looks by the outside jacket. As you can see, the very top one, this is good quality coax. In fact, the jacket is immune to PV or is immune to ultraviolet rays getting through the PVC. And it's got a 100% braid, 100% shield. This is good coax, like what you'd get from DX Engineering. Next coax down, while the shield looked good, look at this. Talk about a leaky signal on 10 meters and higher. This is junk coax. So don't judge coax just by how the outside covering, the outside jacket is looking. Get good coax. I had to work hard to break this coax open. This is great coax. It's got a silver-tinned shield as well as an aluminum shield, as well as the center conductor, as you see, is all encased. So this is good coax, even though it looks mangled after I tried to open it up. So think about good coax, and especially if you're wiring up duplexers, you're going to need to have those sections of really good coaxial cable. And again, DX Engineering is where they make good coax. Don't ever do an antenna that ends up being fed like this, because moisture will wick into that coax. And we're going to talk about moisture shortly. You need to be sure and wrap it with that sticky tape from Universal Radio called Coax Seal, and then cover it with a self-vulcanizing tape. And you really can't do enough to seal out moisture from getting into your antenna's coaxial cable. And of course, use non-contaminating coax. That's where the outside jacket is not going to be eaten up by UV rays of sunshine. And there's a nice little tidy ballon that we made out of coax. So if you got good coax, you don't have to go out and buy your own ballon. And let's see, take a look at this. The small coax that comes with the Diamond and Comet antennas start off small, but it ends up larger. This way, when you close the trunk of your vehicle, as long as you got it routed correctly, it won't cut the coax. Now, speaking of doing coax connectors, you first want to put on the adapter. And next, you want to pull the jacket off and expose the copper braid. And this one also has a tin foil on the inside to keep all the RF in. And we don't really need that as part of the soldering process. In fact, you can't solder to it, so we just clip it off. Now we got to work on the center conductor. And you got to be careful. If you go ahead and start to put things together and you got one little loose hair from the braid, you're going to have a shorted piece of coaxial cable. So make sure that you can really take a good look. And we're going to need to take that inner insulation and peel it back a little bit more. In fact, a lot more to go ahead and put on the PL259. Now we've got it relatively close, but no. This won't make it. Take a look at that. You've got a couple of threads that are shorting out that coax. No good. So make sure it's nice and clean. Then go ahead and put it together like this. Clip off any extra you have. And the way that a technician checks who's been there before with a PL259 is we peel back the outside barrel and take a look at the solder to make sure that the braid is well soldered to that coaxial cable connector. Now, you don't need major size coax for a VHF or UHF run. This is hard line. And notice the hard line actually has a hole in it, skin effect. But note, you don't need the real big stuff. But you do need quality coax. And let me tell you, DX Engineering has about any kind of coax that you could ever think about. They make it. And they test every piece of coax, but occasionally you may get some coax and you say, well, that looks okay. Yeah, connectors look not bad. I think I'll go ahead and run this to my antenna. Well, before you do, you need to get out your ohm meter, one that has R times 10,000, like my Simpson 260 would be just great. But here's a little ohm meter, R times 1,000, and this one is going to reveal some very interesting things. First of all, we want to see whether or not the coax is shorted. So the other end is going to the center conductor as well as the outside shield. And as we look at the meter, we see that there is no connection. So we know that we've not shorted out the coax via a bad connector. But is the coax continuity all there? Here's the way to tell. First of all, lick your thumb.
Ah.
Tastes great. Get your meter out, R times 1,000 or 10,000, and put your thumb over the connector. And you see it rise like that? Yeah, that means you've got continuity. And I like to wiggle that connector and make sure that I have a good, solid connection. If I see it doing this when I'm wiggling the connector, it tells me that I probably don't have a great coaxial cable connection. So again, you can see it go up with my thumb. So that's how we test coax cable. Now, does the coax cable have any moisture in it? Well, with the open connector, take a look and no. But let's try another piece of coax, and I'll make the connection here. And as soon as I add the lead to it, whoa, look at that. It looks shorted out, and that's the connector. And when I blow on the connector and get some of that water out, then it comes back to normal. So that's what happens in a rainstorm when your SWR goes nuts. Well, you're on the roof and you got 8 or 9 pieces of coax coming out of the radio room. How do you know which one is the one that you're trying to work over? Here's the answer. Get yourself a 1,000 microfarad giant capacitor and put it over down at the radio room, the center conductor and the outside part of the cable, and then go to the roof and touch your lead to the coaxial cable plug that's hooked up to the condenser. And here's what you'll see. You'll see it go up, and then it'll slowly come back down as that capacitor is getting a charge. So That's how you tell if you're working by yourself, if you're working on the correct coaxial cable. So good coax from DX Engineering. In fact, let's find out from Don what DX Engineering is up to today with great coax cable. Don?
Oh, they're talking about all kinds of things. But before we get into DX, I want to mention a ham fest that's down here this weekend in South Louisiana. It's a very cool ham fest. It's the Acadiana Amateur Radio Association in Rain, Louisiana, which is over by Lafayette, and it's in Cajun country. It's the 56th annual 2016 Acadiana Ham Fest and ARRL Louisiana State Convention. What makes this one special is it's a Friday night, Saturday Ham Fest, and on Friday night they have what's called a Cajun Fay Dodo. They have a crawfish boil, and they have a Cajun band, and you're not going to find that in anywhere else in the world. So if you're going to be down in South Louisiana, this one is definitely worth a drive in. I almost always go to this one, but not going to be able to go to it. Unfortunately, this year, just too many things going on. But yeah, the Rain Louisiana Ham Fest. It's in the Rain is the frog capital of the world. So there you go. I mean, you know, where else but South Louisiana. All right, let's talk antennas. And DX Engineering, upgrading, repairing, or replacing any antenna is a task, but it's better to do it now when the weather is warming up. It means you're going to be able to spend the summer on the air. So get to it now while it's not too cold and before it gets real hot. And DX Engineering can offer you plenty of solutions for your antenna installation challenges, whether they be technical or environmental. There's a pair of robust antennas ideal for HF. For those who are short on space but don't want to compromise on performance, the first is the RF Pro 1B. This is an active magnetic loop antenna. It is now made and sold exclusively by DX Engineering. Covers all bands, 160 through 10, and it's about the size of a hula hoop. So this will even make your neighbors happy. You know, if you live in a deed-restricted area, you can put it on a rotator as well. Antenna has deep nulls. You can rotate the antenna to ward off any interfering signals and directional noise, and the RF Pro 1B will give you up to 30 dB of rejection. Comes with an ultra low noise preamp. And this is strictly a receive only antenna, so you can't transmit through it, but good stuff. If you want to get on the 80 and 40 meter bands without putting up two antennas, check out the dual band Thunderbolt Vertical from DX Engineering. Relatively short, it's only 55 feet high, offers exceptional bandwidth, 300 kilohertz on 80 meters, 400 kilohertz on 40 meters. And this Thunderbolt dual band are completely self-supporting. You won't have to worry about complex guying systems. It means you can set it up in a relatively small space or even among trees for concealment. Again, for you folks who have nosy neighbors. The antenna comes with a heavy-duty pivoting base. You can lower it for seasonal maintenance or for stretches of inclement weather, which I think we're supposed to get down here in the Southland tonight and tomorrow. It's supposed to be really bad. Adding the optional manual winch makes raising or lowering the antenna a one-person job. And speaking of that, have you seen these DX Engineering Omni-Tilt bases? Amazing. Safe and secure way to mount your vertical antenna. It can be lowered for service. I saw these when I was there in October. Just an amazing piece of kit. DX Engineering includes the Omni-Tilt bases for many of its verticals already. You can also buy the bases separately for use with other manufacturers' antennas. And there's an option for trap and mast-mounted verticals as well. Imagine being able to lower your antenna for service, protect it against high winds, keep the HOA gremlins from sending you nasty letters. That's right. I'm lucky here. The only restriction we have out in the country is we can't raise hogs. Can't raise hogs. But I can do ham radio. The base is made to last. It gives you thick stainless steel, industrial-grade stainless steel hardware. Great Engineering and DX Engineering will ship that thing faster than anybody else in the industry if you get your ground order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way that day. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helping you shrink the globe. Or request your catalog or shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. Thank you so much, DX Engineering. We appreciate being part of the Ham Nation family. Newsline and Dr. Tamitha Scove, also parts of the Ham Nation family. Let's check that out now, shall we? From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2001, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. Hams in Ohio have been preparing for an April 23rd event called Near Vertical Incident Skywave Antenna Day. Hap Holly, KC9RP of the Rain Report, spoke with Stan Broadway, N8BHL, ARRL's Ohio Section Emergency Coordinator, on how this one-day adventure in antenna research is designed to work for all hams.
The purpose of the day is to try these different antenna configurations and see which one works the best for you. We're going to have as many teams as we can trying as many different antenna configurations as they can think up to find out which ones work best. Since Ohio is generally flat, generally the same kind of terrain, we can take a compilation of what happens around the state, narrow it down, let's say, to the top three or four performing antennas, and get an idea of what the best antenna would be for an ARES group to pack in a go box for portable operation or emergency communications. We're going to set up about four or five anchor stations at different corners of the state and in the center that you can call and say, here's my signal, give them a test, and this operator will be able to give you back a fairly critical signal report. If you then change antennas or modify what you have, raise it, lower it, whatever, then you call the same anchor stations back and say, okay, how does this compare? And they'll give you another equally critical signal report. So you get a much better and much more cohesive look at how your antennas are performing against each other.
Hamfests are in full swing all over the country, and in Charleston, West Virginia, one club is holding its 32nd Hamfest. Here's Newsline's Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
The annual Charleston, West Virginia ARRL Hamfest is slated for Saturday, March 19, 2016 from 9 to 2 in a new location this year, Emmanuel Baptist Church Activity Center, 1401 Washington Street West in Charleston, West Virginia. Randy Dameron, N8XEA Hamfest President, comments.
Proud to say we are indeed West Virginia's largest Hamfest. We have several repeat vendors coming back, also local hams with all their items, some 100 tables of deals that ham radio enthusiasts just can't live without. And this year, we've added a food caterer with both a breakfast and lunch menu. We're also featuring three forms. We always have VE testing that begins at 12:30. And in addition to our door prizes, which include handheld radios that'll be given away every hour, the grand prize, a $500 gift certificate from Universal Radio in Columbus. If you're in the West Virginia regional area, we hope you'll stop by and check us out. This is Randy Dameron, N8XEA.
Thanks, Randy. Details at W8GK.org.
The latest numbers are in, and amateur radio continues to grow. Here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
FCC records show that growth in amateur licenses continued through 2015 with 735,405 licensees, a record in the agency's Universal Licensing System database by year's end. Those figures reflect an increase of 9,130 over December 2014. In 2014, the amateur radio ranks grew by a net 8,149 licensees. Not surprisingly, the largest growth area was in the technician license class, which added 6,570 new hams in 2015. There were 3,079 new general class licensees, and amateur extra class added another 3,496. The figures reflect a steady growth in amateur radio's ranks annually since 2007.
Great news for a great hobby. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Dameron, N8TMW, Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's your solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We had a huge solar storm with gorgeous aurora all over the world. And we have another mini solar storm with some fast wind from a mini coronal hole that seems to be on its way. Those stories and more in the news this week. We're coming down off the high of that huge solar storm that we had just a few days ago, and the sun is still launching solar storms. Mostly from the west limb, we had this beautiful prominence eruption that took a while to finally let go, but then it's moving off to the west of us. Then on the 8th, we had this little mini solar storm launch from the Earth strike zone, and it's going to be enhanced by some fast wind from this mini coronal hole. So all of that mess might hit us somewhere late on the 12th or so. And then we've got this active region that's coming into Earth view right here on the east limb. It is showing signs of activity, but we have to wait until it gets into more of an earth-facing view to see what it's going to bring us. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see things were pretty quiet until about late on the 6th when, bam, we got hit by that huge solar storm, and it might have actually had a little bit of wake from a solar storm that launched that was seemed to be Earth-directed but probably missed us slightly to the west. Either way, it kind of enhanced the fast wind that we were expecting and caused the storm to really go sky high. We had a G-class or G3-class storm. It didn't last all that long, but it gave us some amazing aurora in Europe, and it even lasted through the United States, so it's a good 24 hours that we had beautiful aurora. Since then, things have died back down and are pretty quiet, and will probably stay that way till about the 12th. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are still kind of coming down from that high-speed stream and that solar storm that we had just a few days ago. So NOAA is giving us about a 20 to 25% chance of a minor storm at high latitudes just over the next couple days as things continue to calm down. At mid-latitudes, we're only expecting about a 15% chance for active conditions, but still things again should quiet down and stay pretty calm until around the 12th, maybe even the 13th, when things would get a little bit more disturbed, simply because of that mini solar storm and maybe some fast wind from that little mini coronal hole. Switching to our solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, pretty much everything is green. We do have some active regions on the Earth-facing disk right now, but none of them are M-flare players, so NOAA is keeping our risk extremely low. The only question mark we do have is on the east limb with that new region rotating into view, but we don't have a good look at it yet, and it's hard to tell if we'll see any M-flare activity from this one. Outside of that, the only thing is that we do have a little bit of low flux right now on the disk, so the ham radio bands might be a little bit difficult, a little bit noisy, but we are expecting that that region that's rotating into Earth view from the east limb will kind of pop the flux level up just a little bit for us and help the amateur radio propagation. So the space weather seems to be calming down after that huge solar storm that we had earlier this week. So you amateur radio operators, you can get back on the bands and enjoy yourselves. And you aurora photographers can take a much needed rest and post more of those beautiful aurora photos that we've been seeing over the past couple days. Until about the 12th or the 13th, things should be reasonably quiet, and we might start seeing a little bit of activity near the end of the week because of that mini solar storm and that mini coronal hole giving some fast wind. But outside of that, all eyes are on the east limb while we wait it out and see whether that new active region is going to bring us more activity. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
All right. Good to have Dr. T with us. We are so lucky to have her with us with the solar weather. I mean, she is just the best. So thank you, Dr. T. And she's just as nice as she is enthusiastic, let me tell you. Another one that's we're lucky to have is Val. Val, what's going on in DX tonight?
Well, I have a really special guest with us tonight. I have Kathy Gardenias, Kilo 6 Victor Charlie. She's joining us. She is the co-chairperson for the Visalia DX Convention. Welcome aboard, Kathy.
Hi, and welcome. Thank you very much for inviting me on to the show tonight. I'm really pleased. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad you could join us because a lot of people don't really know about the Visalia DX Convention. They all know about Hamvention in Dayton, but tell everybody who's not aware of it, what goes on at the Visalia DX Convention?
Well, the Visalia DX Convention has been going on for 67 years. The Northern California DX Club and the Southern California DX Club alternate years. And it's all about DXing, and we've also added in contesting, too. And, we have contest forum and we have contest dinners and whatnot. But it's mainly just to get together, see presentations on what's going on in de-expeditions, technical presentations. We have a great banquet. And we've got some special guests that are coming in this year. So if you, I can keep going or you can ask me more questions. This is the first for me.
When is the convention? I know it's coming up next month. Jerry and I have our tickets booked. We're going. I'm very excited. I always love going there. So when are the exact dates of the convention?
Exact dates is April 15 through the 17th of this in April. And it's at the Visalia Convention Center in Visalia. And it's $120 right now until March 13, and then it goes up to $130 until we get well, it'll stay online until about the 31st, and then we will have tickets at the door also. We also have just an entry fee for Saturday. So, you know, it's going to be fun.
And I understand, I saw that you have a golf outing and you even have a tour on Saturday for spouses that are non-hams who don't want to hang out and see all the DX and things like that. There's a tour available for them, right?
Correct. And this year, Marilyn KJ6 LYL, she is the tour chair, and she has developed a tour of Visalia and the outlying areas a little bit for antique shopping, and then there's going to be a nice lunch, and then around 3:30-ish they come back to the hotel and join the rest of the group for the banquet that night. And we also have on Friday, we have the DX University. It's not put on by us, but it's put on by Wayne Mills, N7NG. And we have Friday night dinners, top band, IOTA, and contest dinners that'll be going on too. And they're all on the website, and links will be available to them pretty soon. And then Saturday, we have our, in the morning time, we have our welcome and our welcome to our DX foreign guests. Saturday, there'll be the DX forum, the contest forum, the audio and receiving forum by our Bob Heil, and K5P, TX3X Chesterfield, T32 Whiskey Whiskey, Eastern Karabati. And our banquet speaker will be VK0EK, Heard Island. And we're going to attempt a live feed from the Braveheart as they're on their way back from the de-expedition. And on site, we'll have Rich Hollick, KY6R, and he'll be doing a little talk also. And then on Sunday...
I was wondering how you were going to do that, because I know they're there on Heard Island until the 10th, and the DX convention is the 15th through the 17th, so I was curious how they were going to be the keynote speaker. So they're going to be satelliting in from the Braveheart on their way over to Fremantle, Australia, correct?
Correct, they are. They set it all up, and they've been testing it on the way over there, and now they'll be doing it when they come back. So it's going to be really exciting to just see how well it plays off. But I think it's going to be a great banquet evening. And then on Sunday, we have VP8, Sandwich, South Sandwich Islands and South Georgia de-expedition, and the speaker will be Paul and 6PSE. So, that's it right there.
I'm looking forward to that one, too. That should be an interesting... Both of those should be very interesting, as well as the DX talks in the forum. Those are great. For those of you who have never been, it's an hour long. You know, that short video I did on Palmyra 2 weeks ago, it's about a 50-minute version of that, and for all these DX expeditions that went on throughout the year. And those are really wonderful to go and attend those. And you have like the big barbecue for lunch on Saturday, and gotta love those attitude adjustment hours too. Those are always fun.
Yep. And they're going to be hosted by the Southern California DX Club individual sponsors, and also Friday night is the DX store, and on Saturday night HRO is sponsoring. So that's going to be exciting. We want to thank both of those groups and our individual sponsors for helping out in that too. And we could always use.
They just need to go to the website and register online, correct? They can just do it with PayPal or a credit card, and they're good to go.
They're good to go. And we always remind them that once they register, to go back to the website and go to the banquet seating, because if they don't get themselves registered for the banquet seating, then they're gonna be frazzled by the time they get to the convention hall, because we want to make sure they all have a seat at the banquet.
Well, very good. Well, it sounds like we've got everything covered. So, and it's not just for California. I mean, every time I go, I see people from Italy, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, it's the International DX Convention, and a lot of people attend that over Dayton because it's more geared towards DX. So you will see a lot of the get to put some faces to the names on a lot of the DX that you've worked throughout the world.
And that's what's fun is getting to meet the people that you've talked to. I know when I first started, I was in awe when I actually got to meet the guys that went out on those DX expeditions. And I when you meet a movie star, your face just drops, you know, and stuff like that. So it's really exciting. And I always look forward to it. We have some Swedes. We have Germany that's coming, Japan. I believe there was a couple coming from New Zealand and Australia, but I'm not totally sure. And then, of course, we have our Canadians and our from Mexico and whatnot. So it's going to be nice.
And we can't forget about the prizes. I mean, if you look at the prize list, it's huge. Lots of prizes. You can win a lot of good free stuff at these conventions. They're wonderful.
Yeah, and that was the other thing is if you pre-reg by March 13, you have the opportunity of winning the pre-reg prize, which is a Kenwood TS-480 SAT. So it's not a bad deal. So register.
And, you know,
there.
It's wonderful. And I wanted to say this is going to be my third year going. And every time I go, it seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So how many people are you anticipating for this one?
Well, I'm hoping over 1,200. We usually seat about 600 for dinner or plus. You know, it depends on the year and how the economy is going. But we're looking forward to having more than 600 for the banquet dinner. And on Saturday or Sunday, we usually have about 500. So it comes off pretty good. I really enjoy it a lot.
And that convention center is wonderful. It's probably too late for you to score a room at the Marriott, which is connected to the convention center. But there's plenty of hotels nearby. So you're just a short hop away from the DX convention. But it's a really a beautiful convention center. And you're right in the heart of downtown. You can walk around down there. There's a lot of great little restaurants and shops. And you're right in the heart of downtown. And it's just a quaint little town. And for those of you up in the north like me, it's a really nice way to beat those winter blues.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And even for the women or the even some guys, we've had guys go on the tours too, you know, like, oh, I've been to enough conventions. I'm going to go on the tour with the ladies this time. We've had that happen. But, you know, for the women that don't go, all that shopping in the areas is just fantastic. And all the restaurants are just scrumptious. Good food.
Yeah. And the farmers markets and they're roasting corn on the street. I mean, it was great. It was really charming town. So I highly recommend going to the DX convention. It's a great event. I'm sure there was how many volunteers to put this on?
Usually we have about 30. Usually around 30. We have the ones that come in and they step in right there at the convention and they help us out. And we have our regular volunteers. We got about 25 of them. And then we get the extras that pitch in and help. So it's a big effort. It's a team effort. And we all work together well. So that's what
and
makes it.
And they're always flawless. I don't think we've ever had an issue at any of the DX conventions. Nicely done. Thank you so much for joining us, Kathy. Appreciate you coming on such short notice.
Thank you. Thank you very much to all of you.
All right. And I'll see you in 5 weeks.
Yes, exactly. Bye. See you all there.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, that was wonderful. She could join us. Well, for DX, here's my DX report for this week. Lots of good DX coming up this month. Right now, Marquesas is on the air, and they're going to be there only till the 15th. Tango X-Ray 7, Echo Uniform. Also, Eastern Kiribati is going on as well, and those guys are all using individual call signs. Now, right before Wanda Nova, two of the operators are going to be heading to Mayotte to do an operation, and you'll see that's just north of Wanda Nova, and they'll be there for 6 days. And then Wanda Nova takes place from March 29th to April 10th, and that's located just south of Mayotte. And the really big de-expedition coming up is Heard Island. If you recall, I had Bob Schmieder on a couple months back to talk about Heard Island. Well, they're down in South Africa right now. They did have to erect their tents so they could get fumigated and sterilized. One of those will be the operating tent, and the other one will be their sleeping quarters. And pretty nice accommodations for where they're going. And here's a look at the equipment they're bringing with them and how they're packing that up to go to Heard Island. Now, if you want to track them, they are leaving within a few hours from now. And you can just go to their website, hit Track Us, and follow them on their route. And that's it for DX Files. All right, and that's all I've got for DX Files. As far as contesting goes up, we just had the really big one this last weekend. That was a fun contest. WPX coming up after weekend. And what's great about that one is everybody can work everybody. I felt so bad when we were on there this weekend and U.S. or Canadian call signs would come at us and we couldn't log you because we can only work DX. But with WPX, everybody can work everybody. So it's really a fun contest. That's coming up Easter weekend. But this weekend, we've got Idaho, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin QSO parties going this weekend. And I hope to get on the air for the Wisconsin QSO party. So if you do call me, I'll be able to work you this weekend if you're in Wisconsin anyway. And that's all I've got. And now we've got a message from our sponsors. I got to love this. ICOM, now digital. There you go.
The wait is over. The IC7300 is here. ICOM's new innovative HF transceiver will far exceed your expectations for radio considered entry level. The 7300's RF direct sampling system is an industry first. It departs from the conventional super heterodyne system. RF signals are directly converted to digital data. Digitizing the RF before various receiver stages reduces inherent noise generated from different IF stages. A large 4.3-inch color touchscreen promotes intuitive operation and functions like the waterfall, which displays high-level performance and resolution, sweep speed, and dynamic range. The audioscope function allows you to observe various audio frequency, transmit, and receive characteristics. And a high-resolution real-time spectrum scope includes a new magnify function. Other great IC7300 features include RMDR and superior phase noise characteristics, 15 discrete bandpass filters, and more. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur and learn more about the new ICOM IC7300.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register for some great swag prizes like hats and T-shirts. And while you're there, look up the official rules and learn how you could win the monthly grand prize drawing for a radio. And for March, that grand prize is going to be the ICOM ID880H VHF UHF digital transceiver, analog and D-Star, 50 watts on both VHF and UHF, wideband receiver, free CS80/880 cloning software, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And speaking of that IC7300 that we just saw there, I'm going to have one here in the shack next week. Ray Novak from ICOM is going to be here, and we're going to be shooting some video on that and getting a good review of it. And we'll have him here on Ham Nation with us for a little bit next week, and maybe we'll get a little sneak peek of it then as well. So looking forward to that. I'm really interested in that radio. I like the way it looks. It looks to me like a cross between the IC7000 that I like so much and my 7700. Really a lot of stuff for an entry-level radio, but I haven't seen it in person yet. So really looking forward to that, just like everyone else is. Well, you know, the last time we talked about Smith charts, I said we would be looking at those again one day, so let's take another look and see what we can actually do with one. A few weeks ago, we looked at Smith charts, and I told you we would revisit the subject and actually do something useful with it. Well, that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to show you how to plot VSWR on a Smith chart. We're going to start with some values here that I got from measuring 250-ohm terminators with an antenna analyzer. I measured a resistance of 27.3 ohms and a reactance of a positive 9.51. We have to normalize these numbers for 50-ohm characteristic impedance. So we're going to say 27.3 divided by 50. That gives us 0.546. And for the reactants, 9.51 divided by 50 equals a positive 0.1902. Now, let's revisit how we plot these numbers on the Smith chart first. The horizontal line going through the middle of the chart is where we mark our resistance. The inner circle here with numbers is where we mark reactants. If it's a positive reactance, then we use the numbers above the center line. If it's a negative reactance, we use the numbers below. So we'll mark our resistance first. That should be normalized to 0.546. If we go along the center line here, there's 0.6, there's 0.5. 0.546 would be about right here, since this line would be 0.55. We'll just mark right above it. I'm going to zoom in a little bit so you can get a better look here. Not a very flat line there, but this is approximately where we want to be, just above the 0.55 line there. Now let's mark our reactants. It normalizes to be a positive 0.1902. So we go in the positive direction here. There's 0.2. We need 0.19. So it'll be just under that line. And the point where the two lines cross here, which would be approximately that spot, that's going to be a resistance of 27.3 and a reactance of 9.51. Now let's determine the VSWR. We'll need a compass, and we'll place the center of it right here on the 1.0 mark on the resistance line. And we'll place the marker where our two lines intersected here. Now we draw a circle. And we don't have to make the whole circle. What we really need is to know where it's going to cross the resistance line here. There's 1.6, 1.8. This would be 1.9. We're just over that, about 1.92, 1.93. And when I took the measurements using the antenna analyzer, it told me I had a VSWR of 1.92. So there, very close to what the antenna analyzer said. So there you go, how to determine SWR with the Smith chart. Apparently, last time I showed you a Smith chart, we talked about how you plot the resistance and reactance on it. I got it wrong, and nobody really mentioned that to me, probably because you couldn't see very good on the camera. Let's zoom in a little bit here. We were trying to plot 0.546. Well, when I made my marks here, I went in the wrong direction.
Oh!
There's 0.5 right there. I should have come this direction. Instead, I went below 0.5. How did I notice that I made a mistake several weeks ago? When I went to plot out the SWR curve, line my pencil up, when I went to make the circle, I noticed the SWR was a lot higher than it should have been. So, there you go. Pay attention which direction the numbers on the chart go. Actually, something useful to do with the Smith chart. Now that we've got antenna analyzers and such, maybe they're not quite as useful or necessary as they once were, but still, it's kind of interesting. And to think that somebody sat down and figured out where to draw all those circles on there and it worked out right. It's just kind of amazing. Well, you know, last week I asked a question, what is the name for another antenna very similar to an off-center fed dipole. And the reason I ask that is because I'm going to give away this MFJ 40-meter off-center fed dipole. You know, these antennas can work on 40, 20, 10, and 6 meters. They're resonant on all those bands. What's another name for it? Well, there's a good answer for that. And John Davis, WA8YXM, said that the other name for it is a Carolina Windham. And yeah, a Carolina Windham is very similar to an off-center fed dipole. So congratulations. We're going to be sending this to you, John. And we're also going to send you 50 feet of DX Engineering 400 Max coax. A really good heavy gauge coax here. This stuff is, what can I say? Don Wilbanks has talked about it before. Really good silver-plated connectors here, the Teflon centers. Very heavy-duty cable. Great stuff. So congratulations, John. I know you're going to like this. And I've been trying to give away a lot of this stuff lately. I don't know how many feet I've given away so far, but we're going to give away a little more next week. We'll give away another 50 feet with connectors on it. If you'd like to win that, then answer this for me. This comes from the Technician Amateur Radio Exam. What can you do if you're told while you're talking on your FM handheld or mobile transceiver that you're over-deviating? You can A, talk louder into the microphone. B, let the transceiver cool off a bit. C, change to a higher power level. Or D, talk further away from the microphone. So what do you think? What do you do if you're told that your FM handheld or mobile transceiver is over-deviating? If you know the answer to that, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win 50 feet of 400 max coax. All right. I did want to mention before I move on here that this Friday night, if you hadn't got anything going on, come over to live.amateurlogic.tv. Tommy and I and Peter and Emil will be shooting the next episode there, Friday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us for a good time. And looking forward to that. We've got some interesting stuff coming up. And now I think we are about to get near the end of the show. But, Don, why don't you come and fill us in on one more sponsor here before we go to Amanda.
Yep, I've been telling you about this sponsor for a while now, and you may think to yourself, well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe it's a good idea, but I'm not real sure. PillPack. And I've got a personal story for you. In fact, Brian, if you want to bring up that first picture. Y'all know I wasn't here last week because I was in Cincinnati. I was in Cincinnati because my brother-in-law is gravely ill in the hospital. That is my mother-in-law. That FedEx box, now she flew to Cincinnati way before I did. She got there thinking, well, it's just going to be a quick trip. But then she got there and realized it's not going to be a quick trip. And she said, somebody needs to send me my meds. She's putting her meds together when she should be at the hospital visiting her son. And as you can see, she's doing this over a bare floor, thankfully. But this is what she's messing with. After getting all of her medication FedExed to her, she's got to fool with this. And you see, she's putting everything in the little... If she would have had this right here, all she would have had to have done was grab the blue box, throw it in the bag, one for her, one for my father-in-law, or just rip off a whole bunch of these. But this is so small that you could just throw this right in your bag and go, and she wouldn't have the hassle of A, running out of her meds, wondering what she's going to do, B, having somebody go into her house and gathering up all her meds and FedExing them to freaking Cincinnati, where she has to spend 40 minutes, literally, putting all of her pills in her little case and all of my father-in-law's pills in his little case. Such a hassle. PillPack solves every bit of this. They use advanced technology to create personalized packets for each customer, each patient. They're always checked by a pharmacist prior to being shipped. They go through an image recognition system, which ensures the right pill is in the right pack. You can even order inhalers, okay, creams and diabetic supplies, and all the stuff that needs to be refrigerated come in refrigerated, easy-to-open packages. And switching to PillPack could not be easier. They have a secure website. and they'll take care of everything. The pharmacists for PillPack are available 24/7. You can speak with them from the privacy of your own home, or if you're on the go, like my mother-in-law in Cincinnati. They proactively contact your doctor to manage your refills so you never run out. Compatible with most insurance plans, including most forms of Medicare Part D. No extra cost beyond your standard copay. Shipping is always free. And they have a referral program. If you refer someone to PillPack, they'll donate $100 to RxArt, which is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to help children heal through the extraordinary power of visual art. There's even a medication reminder app for your iDevice or your Apple Watch. Why continue to endure your existing pharmacy, standing in lines, wondering if that nosy so-and-so behind you is listening to all your information? PillPack will not only bring your pharmacy into the digital age, it will make your life so much easier. I want you to visit PillPack.com/twit. PillPack.com/twit. Sign up now. The site is beautiful. It only takes 5 minutes to sign up. Use the link. Transfer your scripts to a PillPack. You'll get credit for $20 worth of vitamins and OTCs. PillPack.com/twit. I'm telling you, would have been perfect for my mother-in-law had she had this service. And in fact, when we got to the hospital and she got in to check on Michael, make sure that everything was okay, I pulled out my MacBook and I went to PillPack.com and I said, this is what I was telling you about. And I showed her the video. There's a cool video that explains everything about PillPack right there at PillPack.com. And she's looking at that and she's going, man, I wish I had that. And I went, well, when you get Michael out of the hospital, go home and sign up. PillPack.com/twit. You're going to love it. Absolutely going to love it. All right, it's time now for, this is one of my favorite parts of the show. Yeah, Audio Alley's cool. All of Val stuff is cool, and all the videos that we have, that's all really cool. But Amanda, because that's where we get to connect with you people out there watching. Oh, my holy Lord, look at you.
Hi,
wow,
how are you?
What a vision in pink. But Amanda gets to watch the chat room, and we get to connect with you folks who are watching us live, and that's golden. So, Amanda, what do we got tonight?
Well, quite a few things, actually, but I don't have your guys' video. I have a little twit thing on my screen. So, Val, this is for you. I started to count how many times she beat me out of the DX contest this weekend.
I love the recap at the bottom. Forget it.
Yeah. So, and then finally, there's, three of us in the ham shack this weekend, and we're all trying to finish up getting our DXCC. And so we kind of take turns working the same station, and I'd be in the other room laying on the floor, whatever time it was at night. They'd be like, there's Val. Check. Okay. So she beat us all out a lot of times, which is funny. Just, you recognize all these different calls. I know you guys chat room. She did it to you too. I kid you not. Sometimes it was Jerry's voice, but hey, anyhow, with that, Val, we had someone, Dan, Dan, he wanted to know how you did in the Riddy contest, and he also said thank you for the QSO during it.
How did we do on the Riddy contest? You know, I don't know, because that was four contests ago. I mean, we did WPX Riddy, then the following, or a week or two later, I think it was NAQP Riddy and 160 contest, and then we just did the ARRLDX. So I don't have all those numbers in my head, but we did really good this last weekend in ARRLDX. And I'm going to show you guys in 2 weeks that got preempted for the DX convention tonight, but some cool tools that you can sign into a live contest server so you can kind of track how you're doing compared to everybody else. And I'm sorry I beat you out in the pileups. I thought it was a YL thing. Now I guess it's just a operator skill thing. It's an antenna farm thing. I know.
I think there's some skill. By the way, bringing up women, happy International Women's Day, a day late. You're one of my heroes. You're one of my heroes on the radio, so I look up to you, Val. And
Look at this girl. Look at that. She's got her fur coat, sporting in front of a Bentley, I think.
What is that?
On the cover of QST.
You know what? But thank goodness we don't have to wear short shorts to be able to work a radio now.
Speak for yourself.
I'm hearing my sweat.
Or we could be a November Uniform 5 Delta Echo. They operate in the nude.
Right. So.
I had a QSL card from NU5DE, the nudist club.
Yeah, they that operate so all natural.
Yeah.
I'd hate to see what that SWR is like. So, continuing on, now that I'm blushing, Don, this one, you are our resident VE guy, so I send these kind of questions to you. KD7YVV the Borg would like to know, how easy is it to get a vanity call sign?
You know, it's been so long since I got mine. I got mine probably 15 years ago. There used to be a website called Vanity HQ, which I don't believe is there anymore. But Gordon will tell you, if he was here, that a quick call or a quick log on to w5yi.org, which is also a great place where you can buy your Gordon West study materials, if you'd like, probably has that information, because they have practically anything you would ever want to know about ham radio is on that website. So, and again, it's been so long since I fooled with the vanity stuff. I'm pretty sure Vanity HQ is long gone, but that was a great website and the one that I used. But check out w5yi.org, and I'm pretty sure they'll be able to tell you.
Okay. I do know that it's cheaper now because it's free. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. I know that there for a while the price was going up and down, and I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm not sure what the price is now. So, but
okay.
Check it
Chat
out.
Chat room, help us out. Help us out on that. If you have the answer, let them know. And the next thing, this George is bringing on Ray Novak, as he talked about earlier in the 7300. I contact George in secret, thinking I'm going to get some insider information. You guys, right? Okay, George. Hey, what are you guys going to be talking about on the 7300? He's not giving away anything. Him and Ray are keeping the secret about what they're going to be reviewing on the radio. Isn't that correct, George? You seem a little secretive about it.
Well, that's because I don't really know anything yet. You know, I know no more than you do what we've seen on the internet. But we'll have one here next week. Ray will be here. We're going to be shooting some video on it, and we'll. I suppose we're going to show it here a little bit on Ham Nation. I know we're going to have Ray, and he probably will get booed and hissed off the stage if we didn't at least show a little bit of something on the 7300. So we're planning on doing that. By the way, Vanity HQ is gone. That's the same place I used. Not sure who you'd use now, but follow Don's advice there. And also, Vanity call signs, they stopped charging a fee for them. So I think they're free now.
Very good.
I hope your video, and I know it will be, I know your 7300 video is going to be much better than the one that I watched today. I saw something, and I think it was the Japanese video. And every time they would scan through, they started at 160, and then they would get immediately off of 160 and go to shortwave commercial broadcasters and listen to that. And then they would go to 80, and they would tune past 80 and go to shortwave commercial broadcasters and listen to that all the way down the line. I'm like, well, this does no good for a ham radio video. I don't want to listen to shortwave on my ham radio necessarily. And certainly I don't want to learn about the 7300 by watching shortwave. So yeah, give us some real, that's what I like about what you and Ray do. You give us real world. Here's how this is going to work in the real world when you're operating this radio. And I cannot wait for you to get the 7300 in your hands, because I want one too.
Yeah, don't just turn it on and play the radio and spin up and down the dial. Ray actually learns the radio before he gets here. So mm-hmm. we get down in the menus and look at all the hidden stuff in there and the neat little goodies, you know, the things that are going to separate it from a lot of other rigs. I'm really excited.
Yeah, your 7100 video was just amazing, so I can't wait for the 7300.
I'm totally excited. I can't wait. A lot more software-based. A lot of people are really excited about this. And people have gone crazy with reserving them, not even knowing what they're going to get in front of them yet. So,
yeah.
I want to know how it stacks up. I want to know how it stacks up to something like the 7600 that I have. Because I know that that's a smaller footprint radio. I want to know if the receiver stacks up to what I've got in the 7600, because that 7300 is so slick looking.
Absolutely. It's very awesome. With that, any final words on the 7300, George, before we move on?
You know, tune in and be surprised with me, because I don't know that much about it yet, other than it's new and it's different.
Okay. Well, and see, George has explained himself now. Before now, I was going to tell you guys all to spam him with all of your questions for next week. But I take that back now. Thank you, George. Val, one more question for you. You had brought up Heard Island, and you'd show their tents and that you said they were getting fumigated and quarantined. You might have talked about that and I might have missed it. Is that just because they're going to an isolated island? What's that all about?
It's probably the requirement to come onto that island because of the wildlife. They had to do that when they were in South Africa. And, you know, I forgot. I was going to check when I had some time online here real quick to see if they've left yet. But there is an APRS beacon so we can track them and see when they get there. But, yeah, that was a requirement. They had to sanitize. And there were brand new tents just out of the package. So they still had to have them fumigated and sanitized before they could leave. So I'm not sure. I'm assuming it's a Heard Island thing.
Okay.
Not a South Africa
awesome.
Thing.
I'm going to guess that that's as well. You know, there's another island, and I can't remember what it was, but they said all of a sudden tomato plants started growing there. Well, it was because of the people leaving their poo behind that had been eating tomatoes. Now the tomato plants are on the island. So I guess you have to be really careful about that.
Well, I know when Jerry went to Palmyra, everybody was required to put all their food or all their clothing and shoes and things in their freezer for 24 hours straight. 48 hours straight before they could bring it with them to the island.
Really?
So they all have these weird little things they have to do.
That is really interesting. Now, that those kooky things really get me interested. That's interesting. All right. Well, thank you, Val. And right. Thank you, Jerry, for freezing your drawers for ham radio. I'm sorry. I was trying to make those funny. Never mind. All right. George, over to you. That's been questions for tonight.
All right. Thanks, Amanda. Thanks, Don. Thanks, Val. Thanks, Gordo. And thanks, Kathy. Great show tonight. We miss Bob, but I believe he'll be back next week. Not positive, but I believe he will. And I hope he's having a big time with Frankie Valli tonight. So thanks for being here with us. And we'll look forward to seeing you all again next week. Before we go, though, Don, any final words?
Nope. Just keep my brother-in-law in your prayers, if you would, please. He's still in pretty bad shape, but getting better, which is a good thing. It's going to be a long recovery. I'm not going to go into any major details. Just keep him in your thoughts and prayers. I would appreciate that. And let's see what else. DStarNet tonight going on now, probably already started about 15 minutes ago, on 14 Charlie. And EchoLink on node 355-800. That's the star do drop-in star. It takes care of the digital nets. And, George, if you know where the 40-meter net is, we would love to hear that.
It looks like they're saying it's on 7182.5. So we'll check there or right around there. 20 meters, I'm not sure. It's probably around 14.268. Val, any final words from you?
Nope. Just get out there this weekend. A lot of state CUSO parties. Get out there and work those guys. Give them some CUSOs and you get some new counties.
Okay. Thanks. Good to see you again. Amanda, anything you need to tell us about that hat before we go?
Hey, nope. This is just my cowgirl hat. I was having a bad hair day. Decided to throw it on there and it lights up. But if I turn on the LEDs, you will all be blinded and hypnotized. So we'll not do it. Last time, I made Gordo have to go to the eye doctor. So, thank you, Brian. That was a very nice close-up. Speaking of getting on the air, don't forget those national parks on the air are going hot and heavy. So, I will be on the air trying to work them as well. Get your points up there. That's all I've got. Thanks, George.
I'm having a Caddyshack flashback now. All I can see is, all I see in my head is, oh, no, that's a great hat. Look at this hat. That's the ugliest hat I ever saw. You get a free bowl of soup with that hat? Oh, no, but it looks good on you. By the way, 20-meter net has pooped out. 20 meters is gone, but they're on 7182.5, according to Into KOJ and W7UDI. So there you go. There's your nets tonight.
All right. 7-3, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Ha, ha, ha.